Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me. Thanks for staying with me. It's my pleasure to be part of your day. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you here. Kurt Chaffetz is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Kurt is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, one of the smartest guys I know. He is an award-winning journalist. He is an award-winning businessman, entrepreneur, and I say award-winning because what he's done so many times has been successful. That's how he got his awards in the marketplace. He's the author of one of my favorite books, Thinking Inside the Box, and he's our good friend, Kurt Chaffetz. Welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Jim. It's nice to be here.
It's good to have you back. Kurt, you're a global entrepreneur. You've fairly recently put together a business that's a global business. You've got offices around the world, right?
That's correct.
Talk to us about your global perspective on the economy. I mean, you know, many of us are out here in Main Street America, and we're operating our businesses. You know, our view of the marketplace is you know, on a day-to-day basis is not vast many times, even though we are all trying to get a handle on the global marketplace. But give us your perspective from 30,000 feet to start with.
Well, I think from 30,000 feet, what's most interesting to me is the way in which the center of gravity in the global economy has shifted. And it's shifted away from America, not that the United States isn't an important economy anymore. It certainly is. But the center of gravity, of course, keeps shifting eastward, toward China and Asia, and interestingly, toward Europe as well. The European economic community, that grand experiment in giving up a little sovereignty in order to cooperate with your neighbors, is actually working brilliantly.
It has, hasn't it? And their currency, you know, their currency, which only 4 or 5 years ago was still an experiment, seems to be working.
The currency is
the
extremely
euro?
Strong, much stronger than the dollar, which isn't saying much these days.
Well, you know, one thing about that is you know, when we talk about the dollar being so weak, part of it is just a contrast between the dollar's relative strength and the increasing strength of other currencies. So, you know, maybe our dollar hasn't gone down so much as a lot of other currencies have gone up so much.
Well, that's interesting for you to say that, because actually when you when you look at the pricing differential of goods, sort of the absolute pricing differential, if you could come up with an imaginary single currency that controlled the entire world, the dollar's purchasing power is really not down that far on the world markets. It's just that the purchasing power of the euro and the British pound and a few other, and if they would let it, the Chinese currency.
You won.
Those are right. Exactly. Thank you. They are up so high, and so it isn't that the American economy has completely fallen apart. Although lately it certainly is headed in that direction, as that Europe and Asia have gotten much much stronger. Relative
now, here's the irony, though. See, one of the things that's happened recently, Kurt, that's sort of been an interesting experience. There was the concept of decoupling has been floated, meaning that, you know, if the United States softened up a little bit, that the rest of the world would strengthen, or would sort of take its place in the marketplace, in the global marketplace, and sort of hold the global economy together. But you know, we found that not to be the case in the last few months, haven't we?
No, absolutely. We've seen how
the U.S. is still the big gorilla, isn't it?
Well, but what's interesting is it's the U.S. consumer.
Yeah.
And the real question on everybody's minds, and I think part of what's driving the uncertainty in global markets right now, is it really boils down to a single question. Is the United States consumer so far in debt
at the moment? Is it tapped
out? Yeah, that it just, we're down for the count as a country.
Well, on this show, over the last several years, you know, especially with my interviews with Kiplinger, you know, we've wondered many times, you know, how far can the consumer go? How much life and legs does the U.S. consumer have? And we may be about to find out what that is, what that limit is. Hold on to that thought. Kurt Chaffetz is our guest, folks. We got a lot more to talk about, some 30,000-foot conversation that I'm really enjoying. I know you are, too. 20 Tail, right back with Kirk. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
She's got it. Yeah, baby, she's got it.
Welcome back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Kirk Chaffetz, C-H-E-Y-F-I-T-Z. Kirk with the two Ks, Chaffetz, and if you Google him, that's how you find him, C-H-E-Y-F-I-T-Z. His book is called Thinking Inside the Box, 12 Timeless Rules for Managing a Successful Business. And, Kirk, we were just talking, you've been giving us a 30,000-foot global perspective, and we were talking about some of the values of the currencies.
Right, exactly.
But what does all that mean to small business? Why should small business owners care about anything that we're talking about?
I think they should care for the following reason. As there are various ways to hedge your bets in a small business or in a big business. One of the wonderful things about the current era is that the Internet allows small businesses to act like big businesses mm-hmm. without taking on the evils of bureaucracy and the other problems of big businesses. And exporting goods and services internationally is more and more and more and more attractive to small businesses, and I think deserves more and more attention from small businesses. If you can sell something in the United Kingdom for a pound and collect that pound in sterling and bring it back to the United States, it's worth, you know, roughly twice what a dollar is worth
right,
these days.
Right.
And to be getting paid in a currency that's going up while you're also getting paid in the U.S. in a currency that's going down, is a wonderful way to stabilize your business in times of economic uncertainty. And the more markets that you can be in, the more chances there are that some market's going to be going up while the other markets are going down. And that actually can make life a lot easier as opposed to more difficult. So
of course, a lot of my audience is their world is a little closer to their building than London is. And, you know, their customers are in their neighborhood almost, or not almost, but exactly in their neighborhood, that kind of thing. And I think getting back to what you were saying a minute ago about the American consumer, the strength of the consumer over the last several years, a lot of that has been driven by debt, hasn't it?
Absolutely.
More home equity on pricing, on housing prices that were inflated, on credit conditions that were really monopoly money in some ways, and all those chickens are coming home to roost now, aren't they?
I think they're coming home to roost for individual consumers, and I think frankly they're coming home to roost for the United States of America, which also has been living on monopoly money for quite a few years and running up our national debt in the same way that we've been running up our individual debt as consumers. And with the credit markets in a crisis and the end of easy credit, the contraction in everybody's supply of ready cash is going to hurt all of us. It's going to make it hard to expand the business in this
climate. President Chaffetz, what would your platform be?
Well, I suppose my platform would begin with, this is bizarre and somewhat complicated, Jim. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready. I've come to expect that from you, Kirk.
First of all, I would regulate all of these derivative, the complicated financial instruments that Wall Street has invented to create wealth out of nothing except the pockets of the middle class to make products that
add no value, and that when they make mistakes and collapse, those Wall Street constructs put Main Street into a tailspin.
Exactly. And the United States government and the SEC specifically have done a brilliant job of avoiding the responsibility for regulating these money crazy idiots.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's time, whether you're right wing, left wing, or in the middle, to face the fact that we have got to regulate human greed a little, or it will kill us. So step number one.
Well, you know how blasphemous I think the word regulation is.
You weren't going to like this, Joe.
You knew I didn't like that word, but you also you also probably know, my audience certainly knows, that I believe Wall Street has become the tail that's wagging Main Street's dog, and I don't like that.
We are
a lot of the jeopardy we're in right now has been because of Wall Street's greed and the arrogance. The arrogance of Wall Street is takes your breath away sometimes.
Certainly takes.
And when I say Wall Street now, I'm not talking about the CEOs of the big companies. I'm talking about the people who create derivatives, as you were kind of alluding. They create derivatives and products that add no value to the marketplace.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's what you and I are talking about. You're not talking about regulating CEO pay. You're not talking about regulating corporations. You're talking about regulating the kinds of products that add no value and that could put the economy into a problem.
Absolutely. These derivatives add all of this trading is that part of Wall Street that, look, Wall Street was invented by the economy so that there would be an efficient way of raising money for businesses to operate and expand and for ordinary people to invest. Now it's become a casino.
Right. I agree with you. Wall Street is a derivative of Main Street.
It's absolutely true.
Nothing happens on Wall Street until somebody like me and you, Kirk, sells something on Main Street.
Well, ideally...
Hold on to that thought. I'm going to let you finish that when we come back. Quick break, 10 till... I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Kirk Chaffetz. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Kirk Chaffetz, K-I-R-K, two K's in his first name. Chaffetz is C-H-E-Y-F-I-T-Z, and he's the author of Thinking Inside the Box. And Kirk, give us your website, please.
The best website is my company's site, storyworldwide.com. It's
all right.
Story, just like in telling a story, worldwide.
Tell us what we'll find when we get there.
What you'll find when you get there is it's a short flash movie on all of the new ways to advertise. We call ourselves the first post-advertising agency. We're what comes after advertising. And so we're based on how people really use media these days rather than
TV. If you really
want to
see what's going on, an example of what's going on in the 21st century, folks, if you want to see a true 21st century perspective on the marketplace, go to storyworldwide.com and watch that video. And so, Kirk, I congratulate you on what you've done, because, folks, Kirk's been a member of my Brain Trust now for about 5 or 6 years. And Kirk, you've done all this. You've accomplished all this in the last 4 years, haven't you?
Well, that's true. This particular company, although the roots go back as far as 15 years ago for me and my partners, we bought ourselves out of a big corporation 2.5 years ago, took part of the company we built for that company, took it private, and now we've built it into something 4 times that size over the last 2.5 years.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you very much. God bless everyone, and especially our clients for believing
yeah,
in us.
Yeah, got to thank your customers. You know, talking about customers, that's another thing that ticks me off about Wall Street. You never hear people in Wall Street talking about customers or the customer experience. It's all about the stock trade, and I know the stock trade. I know it's important to the technical guys up there. I know that's important to all the traders, but you know, you'd think at some point in time they talk about the products in the company, the customer, and investing in that relationship, but they never do.
Well, I think, you know, Wall Street is a many-headed beast.
Yeah.
Some of those heads are just perfectly fine. As I've said, those are the parts of Wall Street that are about putting capital to get, you know, finding people who have money and putting them together with people who need money for one reason or another, and that's what makes the economy work. And I'm all in favor of putting people who have money together with people who need money so that we can finance good ideas and keep the country growing and start businesses and expand businesses and all of that. That's the useful Wall Street.
Well, don't get me wrong. You know, I don't mean to sound like Wall Street doesn't serve a purpose. It does. But when it turns into the Hydra, when all those heads turn into the Hydra,
no, I absolutely
the mythical Greek beast, Kirk. That's when it gets ugly.
Well, I couldn't agree more, because there's this useful side of Wall Street that helps us create jobs and is all about growing the economy and does all of these extraordinarily useful things and really represents a lot of what's best about capitalism, which is the system we all live with here. The other side of Wall Street represents what is absolutely worst and ugliest about capitalism, which is a few people using other people's money to run up their own personal wealth at the expense of all of us by running somehow they've gotten permission from the United States government to run a nationally syndicated casino
and
using
you
our money, where the insiders know how the bets are going to turn out.
And when you say U.S. government, you're not making a political statement. You're not talking about one party or the other, are you?
I wish I were.
Yeah. You'd like to be able to blame it on the mugwumps, wouldn't you?
I would love to, and I wish it were that easy to fix, you know, just by electing a new president from a new party. But I don't hear any of the presidential candidates on either side of the aisle saying a word about this. We've got this huge credit crisis, and I've never heard from any political candidate the words, "I think Wall Street might possibly be responsible
but,
for some
But you
of
have
it.
Heard some of them talk about wanting to regulate CEO pay, like Kirk Chaffetz's pay.
Right. Well, no, that's true.
They've stopped preaching and started meddling now, haven't they, Kirk?
Well, they're on the edge, Jim. But
hey,
so
thanks
remember,
for being...
you just elected me president.
That's right.
So
that's right. And you know
got
what?
Nothing to worry about.
And you know
now.
What, Kirk? You and I don't agree on everything, but I could live in a world where there was a president Kirk Chaffetz in the United States.
Well, I would make you Secretary of the Treasury, Jim.
There you go. No, Commerce. I want Commerce. Hey, thanks.
You got it.
Thanks, Kirk. I'll see you. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.